Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past 2 weeks, we had three posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. The first post described a study where the authors reported that elevated plasma levels of tau protein within 6 hours of a sports-related concussion was associated with delayed return to play. The second post discussed a clinical trial where the authors found that various electrical stimulation treatments over the course of 3 weeks resulted in improved low back pain. Specifically, interferential stimulation seemed to have the best outcomes for patients with low back disc degeneration. Finally, their third post reported on a study where the authors noted that survey participants who reported frequently running or swimming had greater signs of lumbar disc degeneration than those participants who were inactive in those activities. If we take a closer look at that second study, we found that the authors compared effects of various electrical stimulation treatments on pain, range of motion, and function among individuals with low back pain. Patients with low back pain due to disc degeneration were randomized to treatment groups for approximately 3 weeks. These groups consisted of conventional TENS, acupuncture-like TENS, high-voltage electrical stimulation, interferential stimulation, diadynamic stimulation, and control rehabilitation only. All participants, regardless of their group, performed a basic set of rehabilitation exercises. Their pain, disability, mobility, and postural stability were measured before and after the 3-week treatment period. All groups improved in pain, disability, mobility, and postural stability. But upon a closer examination, the authors reported better results for participants in the interferential treatment group in all areas, and the least amount of improvement for patients in the diadynamic treatment group. While there were improvements over the 3 weeks, the largest disparity appeared to be that diadynamic and control groups showed significantly lower improvements than the other 4 electrical stimulation treatments. These findings are interesting because it shows that there are significant improvements after just 3 weeks of treatment with various electrical stimulation treatments or rehabilitation alone. Interestingly, the authors appear to have the best outcomes among participants who received a 20-minute interferential treatment 3 times per week, with the theory that this treatment penetrates deeper into the tissues. This is somewhat surprising since the interferential treatment parameters were only sensory in nature, and it was actually the shortest amount of treatment time, with the other treatments ranging from actually 50 to 60 minutes. It would be interesting to see what clinical outcomes might be if a clinician performed interferential treatment with a lower frequency. The theory about interferential treatment penetrating deeper into the tissues is one that is often referenced, but it would be interesting if a research study could prove this definitively. The authors also noted that the diadynamic therapy appeared to have the least effect and failed to provide much of a clinical benefit, especially with other options available. Diadynamic therapy was one that I was less familiar with, and it appears that it is not a valuable addition into a clinical practice. Overall, electrical stimulation treatments appear to improve symptoms and function over the course of a 3-week time period, with interferential having the most optimal outcomes. However, these results should be interpreted with caution, given the exploratory nature of the study. Despite the exploratory nature of the study, this is a great example of the type of research that we truly need when it comes to our modalities. Many modalities are released to the market so that clinicians can buy them without thorough testing. So it leaves us in a little bit of a hole of figuring out what are the optimal parameters to use for certain patient populations. So this study was nice in that it had multiple groups testing multiple stimulation protocols to try and identify an optimal treatment. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This past week, our most popular post was a case study about a female athlete who had completed ACL rehabilitation but still had a high-risk neuromuscular profile, which was then changed to a low-risk profile after 6 weeks of kettlebell training. If you're an athletic trainer who's looking to get evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 4 online courses available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses, the posts, and the case study on our podcast website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.